Hello and welcome to another episode of Fight On Montana. I am your host, Adam Healy. Today we have the great pleasure in having former Grizz Tyrone Holmes with us today.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm really good.
Good, hey.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for coming on with us. I totally appreciate it, man.
Yeah, of course.
So, what have you been up these days?
Yeah, so kind of been a whirlwind. I was in camp with the Dolphins last fall, summer, and didn't make the team. And I ended up going back to Arizona and training through just hoping to get picked up or just seeing if I did. And basically just trained in Arizona and worked out through the whole season. And when I didn't get picked up, I decided it was time to hang up the cleats. So I decided to announce my retirement, and then I went on a backpacking trip. And when all this COVID stuff hit, I decided it was time to hightail it back home. So since the virus has hit, I've been back home up in Oregon and just beginning the job hunting search and just figuring out kind of what I want to do next. And yeah.
Nice. Where'd you go backpacking?
I went through Southeast Asia.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Was it pretty awesome?
Yeah, it was incredible. It was amazing over there. It was a really cool experience. And especially cause I did it on my own. So
yeah,
I thought it was cool just to, you know, be in a foreign land all by myself and exploring. And yeah, that's what I love to do. So it was good.
Nice. Did you see any wildlife that was pretty crazy?
Nothing too crazy outside of just, okay, you know, monkeys and stuff like that. I mean, I think you'd probably have to be out there for a while and like actually go hunt and stuff if you wanted to see anything too wild.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Awesome.
It was good. It was good.
Hey, let's jump into your career at University of Montana. What did you like the most about your time at University of Montana?
Yeah, I think I'd just have to say the people up there. I mean, specifically my teammates, you know, I was able to build some really good, long-lasting relationships with the guys on the team. But also just the people of Missoula and just how welcoming and loving everybody is. It was a really good time in my life.
Awesome. So your career at UM, I believe 2012 to 2015, you had a total of I believe, three coaches, right? Flugrad, Delaney, and Stitt?
Yeah, I was just recruited by Flugrad, never actually played for him. So yeah,
okay,
he kind of transitioned out right as I came in. So
okay. So how did you like Delaney and Coach Stitt?
I mean, they're both very intelligent football guys. I mean, I enjoyed playing for both of them. You know, Coach D kind of treats everyone like his grandkids. So it was really awesome to play for him and somebody that cares so much about his players. And having Stitt come in and having such a knowledge of the game was a cool experience as well. So very different experiences, but you know, value in both situations. So.
Awesome. Yeah. And I've heard a couple people say that about Coach Delaney is just a really down to earth, you know, cares about his players kind of guy. So.
Yeah. He's one of the best humans I've met. So he's awesome.
That's awesome. What was your favorite part about your career at the University of Montana?
Yeah. Football wise, I think I loved it all. I mean, when I think back, you know, obviously game day, running out on the field to all the fans and just how passionate everyone was about Grizz football, that was awesome. You know, when I think back on my time playing, a lot of my memories are, you know, those times in the locker room when everyone's just laughing and having a good time bonding. I think those are the times I'll probably value the most, was just, you know, the times grinding in the weight room and hanging out with my friends. So, yeah.
Awesome. Any regrets about your career at the University of Montana?
No. I don't have any regrets. I mean, that's kind of just how I look at life. It's just, it didn't work out how I wanted it to. It was a lesson. And if it went well, then, also an opportunity to learn and get better. So.
Awesome. How is it to play in a Grizz Cat game? What is the emotion and the feelings of that game?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible, pretty awesome. And, going to a school the size of the University of Montana to get to play in a game of that magnitude with that much passion in it was very, very special. I mean, you go around the country, there's not too many rivalries that can come even close to what we got to experience at that game. And so I just consider myself very, very blessed to have been able to be a part of it. And, to still go back and watch the games now, it's pretty lucky. So.
Nice. This is kind of an off the wall question, but your favorite place to eat in Missoula?
Yeah. Man, I have a couple spots. I would say, definitely love Lolo's Steakhouse. The Depot, Catalyst, Plonk, and Masala.
Nice.
And the Bridge. I have a lot of good places there.
They're all good, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, they're all good.
With your career in the NFL, where does Washington Grizzly Stadium stack up with or compare with those NFL stadiums?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely different environment for the most part. I would say, loudness-wise, it's very similar, It gets, being in Washington Grizz is just a whole different environment because everyone's right on top of you. And I just remember being in some games where you couldn't even hear yourself think because the crowd got so loud, Whereas in, a lot of NFL stadiums, it doesn't quite reach that level. It's just depends on where you're at, maybe like a Kansas City or a Seattle where the fans are that into the game and they're that loud. And so, yeah, I mean, it's definitely up there. It's loud and, I think people would be shocked if they came from, the outside. Or, I would tell my teammates, where I got to play in college is pretty dang loud and no one believes me. So, but it definitely is. It definitely is a pretty insane place to play. And those guys are really lucky to be able to go in there on game day and do it.
Nice. What was your favorite uniforms that you got to wear in your career? Did you have a specific uniform that you kind of liked better than the others?
Not specifically. I wasn't ever like a huge, crazy uniform guy. I liked the all white look. The all white was cool to me. I just thought we looked clean. Other than that, nothing really was too crazy. So
nice. So do you miss, of course you miss playing, but do you miss playing at the University of Montana?
Yeah, I mean, of course I do. I mean, I miss my teammates. I just miss being up there and being around the guys. And it was a very special time in my life. And I think I'll always look back on those memories very fondly. And, it goes by so fast. Everyone comes in and gives speeches and everyone says, this is going to be – go by super quickly, but you don't really believe it until you're on the other side looking back at it. And it's just, it's sad, but I'm glad I was able to experience it and have the memories that I do. So
nice. So while you were at UM, did you ever want to wear or ever think about wearing the 37 jersey? I know that you're from, I believe, Eagle Point, Oregon, right?
Yep. Little farm town down here in Southern Oregon. No, I never really had a desire to. I think it's a great tradition. It's awesome. It's very cool that, a Montana player can wear that number and represent it. But for me, I think I made my number in 91 mean something special to me. And I think there's a bit of a legacy with that number as well. And so for me, I was very proud to wear it. And hopefully, you know, continue that legacy. And then, so yeah, I think for me, you know, I respect the tradition. I think it's awesome. But for me, I was very happy with my number, and I didn't ever see a need to wear 37. So no.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite tradition maybe at the UM that you had or were a part of that you like?
Yeah, I mean, playing at Montana is pretty cool because they've had so much success, and when you have success, you usually have a lot of traditions. So there was a lot of things that I liked. Definitely singing the fight song after the game has to be up there. You know, the different chants that we would say coming down the tunnel on game day, just little game day things that were pretty cool. Yeah, I would say those are probably the ones that stick out the most to me.
Nice. Chance coming down the what kind of chance?
Oh, they're secret. I can't tell you that.
Oh, okay. All right. What helped you get from University of Montana to the NFL?
I think it's just a mentality, you know. When you come into that program, you're brainwashed into thinking a certain way and working a certain way. And in my opinion, it's a recipe to have a lot of success. And obviously it's what has and worked at Montana and will continue working is just how people work. And that's not common everywhere you go. You know, I was kind of surprised when I did go into the NFL and you're kind of exposed to different people's work ethics and things that wouldn't have been allowed at Montana. And so I think that's a big reason why I was able to transition, you know, and it's just a different mentality. So,
yeah. Who did you enjoy playing the most, like out of the Big Sky teams and also non-conference, who did you enjoy playing?
Yeah. I mean, outside of playing Montana State, I mean, that was the biggest game of the year, but I really liked playing Eastern Washington. I think there was a good little rivalry there. They were having a lot of success while I was in college, and so those games were always heated and fun, and you know, they had a ton of talent on the other side and just a lot of passion, so I loved those games. Yeah.
How did you like playing at the Roos Field, the Red Field?
It was cool. I mean the field is hideous, but it was cool. It was cool that when we went over there, we had like as many fans as they did. So that was always a fun environment. And
yeah,
you knew the game mattered. There was usually something on the line. So, yeah.
Man, and whenever I watch a game, like I've never been to their stadium, but man, I watch it on TV and I'm like, gosh, my eyes just burn after watching a football
game. It's terrible. Makes you want to puke. But
oh, you know, man. Them and Boise State, it's like, how can you play? Like, holy cow.
Yeah, it's their thing, I guess. I don't know. Not my thing.
Yeah. How rewarding was it to win Defensive Player of the Year your final season at, I believe your final season at University of Montana?
Yeah, it was super rewarding. It was, you know, the culmination of a lot of years of hard work. And I think, you know, it was a testament to my teammates and the coaching that I had that I was able to have that kind of success. So I think in my opinion, I saw it as like a team award, and it was really cool. It was, you grind so many days and you're in the weight room every day. So to get some validation at the end of that to end my college career was super cool. So
nice. So let's head into your NFL career. When you got to the NFL, did you ever have like a welcome to the NFL moment? Like where you're like, oh yeah, I'm actually playing in the NFL now.
Well, I mean, I'm sure I had a couple of them. I mean, what I can think about right now would probably be when we played Tom Brady my rookie year, and on this certain coverage, I ended up having to cover Rob Gronkowski, and it was just kind of this like, wow, like I remember he ran a route and I was kind of just like sitting in the hole, like looking at Tom, and I was like, dang, this is like, I'm really in the NFL. I think that's probably was the biggest moment for me. So
nice. Yeah. That would have hurt to tackle Gronk.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Luckily, you know, he didn't get the ball thrown at him, so I was praising God. So.
Nice. What was your first OTAs and preseason like?
Man, it was I was down in Jacksonville, so first of all, it was extremely hot.
Oh, bet.
A ton of humidity. It was very, very challenging. I mean, going from college into the NFL, the playbook is way bigger. It's a lot more to study. And then you have the added stress, you know. It's all of a sudden, in college, it's a bit of a job, but in the NFL, if you don't do that job well, you're not on the team. You don't have a job. So, you know, just a ton more stress, a ton more time dedicated to becoming a good football player. And so, yeah, it was really challenging. You know, I'm glad I went through it. I think it made me a tougher player. And, you know, I had fun at the same time, but it was definitely a transition period, you know. You got to learn all that stuff. Anyone that transitions to the next level, there's a learning phase. So,
yeah. I can't imagine the difference between playbooks and what you have to learn that first year. And then you're like, oh, wait, I've got to keep my body right and do this and do that. It would be crazy.
Yeah, and there's a huge mental aspect to it as well. Like, you know, you kind of – I think anyone, whenever they do anything at a high level, you go through like those moments of doubt where you're questioning yourself. You have this like imposter syndrome, right? Where you're thinking, do I really belong? And who's going to find me out? You know, so you're constantly proving to yourself and to everybody else out on the field that you belong and you deserve to be on the team. So, yeah.
That's got to be tiring too. Like, holy cow, like mentally wise and just like physically wise, that can just take a toll on your body after a while.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the NFL does as good of a job as they can, you know, trying to manage workload in your body, but it's still extremely grueling and football is just a tough sport. And then you add on the mental component of playing the NFL and the fact that you have 90 guys auditioning for 53 spots. It's a lot of stress. So, yeah, it's definitely learning how to manage that and cope with it. And some guys are better than others, but it's just learning what works for you. So,
nice. Did you ever get hazed or initiated in the NFL your first year?
A little bit. It's kind of just earning, earning your place and, it's just kind of little things that you have to do as a rookie, you know, buying the snacks for the room and carrying guys' helmets and shoulder pads off the field. And there was like a rookie talent show that we had to do. And so just, you know, just different little things like that. But it was all in good fun. And it was, it was just a part of going through the process. So
nice. What was your, what did you do for the talent show?
I was pretty lucky. There's a guy from Montana in the video department in Jacksonville, and he helped me out quite a bit making a video, making fun of one of the older dudes on the team. He was a real serious kind of guy. And so I just kind of made like a video of what he was thinking in his mind as he went throughout the day. So it was pretty funny. He got some good laughs. So,
nice. Yeah. Nice. When in the early years of playing, I feel like you have to kind of find like the right team when you're drafted. You were drafted by the Jaguars in 2016, I believe. And I believe you were released. How hard is that to have that resiliency through that time?
It's really challenging. It's tough, but it's the reality of most guys that are undrafted or most guys that are mid to late round draft picks, you know. It's just something that you go through, and you know, a large portion of the guys in the NFL start out on practice squad and work their way up, and it's just kind of something that you do. I think, you know, I was mad. I'm a competitive guy, so I was upset, you know, but then the next day I got picked up, so it wasn't you know, I was on to the next thing. So it wasn't too devastating. I mean, that night I was mad. I'm sure I said some things and whatever, but you know, this is one of those things. You accept it, you move on, you know that I knew that I gave it everything I had to make that team, and it just wasn't meant to be, and there was a better place for me. So
nice. So were the locker rooms that you were a part of, were they different than what you experienced at University of Montana?
I mean, I think there's a different vibe and a different feel to every locker room, you know, to some extent. But I think also a lot of things are very similar. We're all still football players. We're all just guys hanging out, having fun. So I think a lot of it was the same, you know, a lot of the same type of jokes and everybody just hanging out and, you know, mentality wise. And then there's little nuances because you have guys from all over the country. So, you know, you have the little different social things, but for the most part, very, very similar, I'd say. Yeah.
Nice. Did you change up your training process, or are you changing regimen when you went to the NFL?
Yeah, I did. I think it's part of that transition, part of becoming a professional is, you know, in college, you kind of just do whatever you're told. And when you get to the NFL, it becomes your body and your livelihood. So I started spending a lot more time studying, researching, asking questions, trying to figure out what was best for my body. And you can't work the same way when you're playing professionally as you do in college, because when you move into the professional ranks, it's more about getting your body healthy and ready to play and keeping it healthy. And in college, it's all about, you know, lifting as heavy as you can and running till you puke. And it's just a different mentality when you get into the NFL. It's more maintenance, it's more doing the little things, it's more, you know, being detail oriented to maximize your results. So
was the speed a lot different than in the NFL than it was at FCS level?
It definitely was, but it's hard to think back and remember because you get so accustomed to the speed fairly quickly, you know, and it's always, you just get used to whatever speed you're playing at. So, I mean, sure, I'm sure the first couple of days I was probably like, what the heck? And then it slows down for you and you get more used to whatever speed you're playing at. But yeah.
Yeah, that's what I interviewed Brock Coyle, and he kind of said that as well. Like, after a couple of practices, you just kind of just get used to it. But at first, it's kind of crazy of how fast it is, and you're just like trying to play catch up and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's just, yeah. And then that becomes your new normal. And it's a different game, but
yeah.
But when you realize that whenever you start, everyone's doing this as their profession, and guys are professionals and they know how to use their body, and they know, you know, so
yeah. What did you enjoy most about your time in the NFL?
I love just being in the locker room, hanging out with the guys and laughing and joking about things. But there's also something special to realize, you know, a childhood dream. You know, you work hard your whole life and you dream of being able to put an NFL jersey on and run out on the field. And I think that was super special for me as well, you know, just being a part of that brotherhood and being a part of the most elite group of football players in the world. So, I mean, it's pretty cool when you're surrounded by people that are the best, the absolute best at what they do. And I think that was very inspiring to come in every day with a group of 50 some odd other guys, and we're out there just trying to get better and push towards a common goal. And I think that was really cool.
So I see on Instagram that you ran into Dante Olsen, and I believe you guys are both from Oregon, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yep, we're both from Oregon.
Did you give him any hints or suggestions or advice for his, he's just starting his career?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've talked quite a bit. We're pretty close, being that no one from where we're from really goes to college to play sports.
Yeah.
So it was kind of unique in that sense. And then being kind of lucky to be able to go to Montana, and then not very many people from Montana get the opportunity to play in the NFL. So yeah, we've got to have some good conversations. Just, I've told him some things that I wish I would have known coming in, or just thought about going into camp. And most of it's just mentality wise. And other than that, the physical stuff you'll learn and pick up, but yeah.
Nice. What was your favorite moment or story about your NFL career?
I mean, my favorite, I thought it was super cool to play Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, when I was with the Browns, we weren't winning a lot. We didn't win very many games. And that was the majority of the time that I spent on the field in live games. And when I was on other teams, I was kind of on practice squad or whatever. So I think, you know, outside of just my memories of being in the locker room, and, you know, it was kind of funny, my second year when we did win our one game, that was a pretty cool moment, when we played the Chargers and we beat them at the very end of the game. So, I mean, I guess that one win those first 2 years, that was a pretty memorable moment. So
now that Browns team, I've got to remember back, and I don't have that written down. Did in those 2 years you had one win, right?
Yep. Yeah. One win in two years. Yeah.
How hard was that to go 0-16 one year and 1-15 the next year?
It's extremely difficult. It's hard. It's really hard. You know, I think we were very young and we didn't have a lot of experience. But also the margin between winning and losing is so, so minute in the NFL. You know, we went through, I don't know how many quarterbacks both seasons, but we weren't getting blown out. You know, the margin of victory was still fairly close when you look at a lot of those scores. So, I mean, it's just tough to think every time, like, we're just right there, we just have to do a little bit more, and then to come up short every time is really tough, especially because we were all young and just trying to find our way. But, you know, we still had a good time playing with each other and being in the meeting rooms and learning and just trying to get better. So
do you think that that's more in the NFL? Because I just feel like in the NFL, like one small thing here, one small thing here, and it just kind of changes the trajectory of a game, where in the college game, I don't think that happens a lot, because like the NFL, you're just so close. The talent is, you know, pretty much even on all those teams, where the talent level is the same, where, you know, the games are just so close, and one thing here could, you know, blow open the game another way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you look at it and you don't see the disparity in the talent levels between teams that you see in college. Everyone's doing a lot of the similar stuff between teams, if that makes sense. At the NFL level, everyone's a professional. Everyone's meeting for hours and hours a day. Everyone's trying to get better and is very good at what they do. And in college, you're splitting your time between class and all these other distractions, and your livelihood's not on the line, and this is a different mentality. And you do get that in college, where you have some teams that end up getting all the best recruits or whatever, and you just don't see that as much in the NFL. So I think that's a big reason why. So yeah, and so whenever you get to the professional level, it becomes much more detail oriented. It's one play. You can't mess up on a play, because that could be the difference in winning or losing. So
yeah. Who was the most the freakiest athlete that you have played against in the NFL?
Played against.
Yeah.
I think, well, two guys that were on my team that are freaks or would be Josh Gordon and Myles Garrett.
Okay.
They were on my team. Those two guys are, you would not believe, these freak athletes. Also,
just strength or speed or what?
Everything. Josh Gordon, I've never seen anybody run like that. He's incredible. Just watching him run. I mean, similar in a different way, but very impressive was watching Tyreek Hill run around. I mean, just how quick he is. It's just unbelievable how quick he gets in and out of breaks and cuts. And I played Tyron Smith. He's a tackle for the Cowboys my rookie year, and he was an absolute animal. So him as well.
Nice.
I mean, there's a few guys throughout the league that are just super, super impressive. I mean,
yeah.
Myles Garrett, I'll put him up there with anybody, though. That guy is made for football, doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. He's so explosive, so strong, so flexible. Like, literally everything that you want in an athlete, that's what he is.
Do you see that? And you're just like, gosh, man, like, why do you have this? And, you know,
it's extremely unfair. He does work on it. It is just like, sheesh, yeah. You have, for the most part, everyone is very similar in the NFL, and then you just have a few freaks on each team.
In your NFL career, what was your favorite franchise to play for?
I think there was good things about every organization that I was with. Being with the Chiefs was really a fun time because they had a lot of veterans on the team and they had a culture of winning. And so that was, I really enjoyed that. I spent a brief period of time with the Chargers, and that might have been my favorite team I was on. Just the guys were super fun, and the culture was detailed, but they had a good time, and they were winning, went to the playoffs. So I'd say probably the Chiefs or the Chargers. So
nice. What was your thoughts on the AAF? I believe that you played in the AAF while it was going.
Yeah. Yeah, I went down to San Antonio, and I got to play down there, and I had a great time. It was awesome. At the end of the day, it's still football, and I think it brought back my love of football because it wasn't as stressful, and we had some really good coaches that just cared about us as players. The head coach was Mike Riley, and he had put together a really good staff of guys that cared about us and really just wanted us to see us be successful. And so it was fun. You know, I grew really close to all those guys on that team. We kind of all lived in the same apartment complex during that time. So it was a lot of just team bonding and getting back to what football started for us, you know, getting back to just the authenticity of the game and just playing for the love of it. So.
So how different was it of the AAF and the NFL?
I mean, that's kind of a tough question to answer. I mean, at the end of the day, it was still football, you know. Mm-hmm. You're going out there and, you know, there's obviously going to be differences in the terms of we didn't have as much time together. So there was, you know, you're not as polished of a team, a lot smaller playbook. You don't have the same depth of players, but still really good players. There's so many good players and that can play football in this country that aren't on rosters. So a ton of good talent. And I think just maybe day-to-day stress maybe wasn't as high, but we, you know, didn't spend as much time in the building, but it was still football. So
nice. I believe you got to play for Hugh Jackson and Andy Reid, right?
Yep.
How was it to play for those two?
I'd rather not.
You'd rather not?
Yeah.
All right.
It was I don't know. Yeah, what else we got?
All right. How hard was it, the ups and downs of your time with the Browns?
It was tough. It was really tough. Like I said before, you know, we had one win in two seasons, and we were a bunch of young guys just coming into the league, trying to figure things out, trying to figure out up and down, and it was tough. But I think we all grew and got better. I think it made us all tougher. I know it made me tougher, and I know I feel more prepared for whatever comes next in life, whatever is thrown at me. I feel like I'm prepared because of what I went through those seasons. You know, it was, in Cleveland, football is huge. I don't know if people really quite can grasp how big sports and specifically football are. You know, anytime you get an Uber, they don't even know that you play football. You're talking about football. You're talking about the Browns. They really, really love football. So, to be where we were at during that time was tough, I think, for everyone. The fans and us, and just the pressure kept mounting the more games we lost, and you know, it just becomes this thing where you kind of dread going in because we were losing so much, and then it gets in your mind, you know. Now all of a sudden you get to the end of the game and it's more like, wow, it's not how can we win this game, it's how do we not lose it, you know. And it's tough to break out of that.
What is it like to play on a practice squad?
It's good. I mean, I don't know what people know about playing on a practice squad, but basically you're on the team, you just don't get to play in the game. So basically you do everything that everybody else does. You go to every single meeting, you do all the same stuff. So there's really, I mean, it's just, it was just being on the team. I had a great time. Obviously, you don't get paid the same because you're not suiting up on game day. But
yeah,
you're running all the scout team cards. But, you know, a lot of the guys that are on the roster are running the scout team cards. There's only 63 guys total, including practice squad, on the team. So everybody's kind of taking up those responsibilities.
Yeah.
So, there's not a whole lot of difference, except some team, or you usually don't travel to away games.
Okay.
Different teams have different procedures for some teams do travel to practice squad. Some teams have you dress or have you on the sideline on home games. Some people have you up in the box. But for the most part, you're going to all the meetings, you're doing all the practices, you're putting in the work, and you're going in every day trying to show the people in the front office why you should be on the active roster, you know. And then a lot of teams now kind of use their practice squad as an extension of the roster. You look at it now, and it's not very common that a guy will stay on practice squad the whole year. That is being turned over week after week. It's guys are getting activated, guys are getting released, so it's not a set in stone. This is the practice squad. There's not very many guys that stay in that position for the whole year. I mean, it's a lot of changing. It's a lot of moving. Okay.
So did you pretty much go on Sundays, just go to the games then? Is there any other teams that you knew of that the players didn't go to the games on Sunday?
Yeah. Some places it's optional.
Okay.
To go to the game for home games. It was just different situations depending on where I was at.
Yeah.
Some teams didn't like the practice squad players on the sideline just because it's just more people standing on the sideline. And some places I was at, it was mandatory that we were on the sideline. So,
okay.
Just different mentalities, different coaching philosophies.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, had to be up in the box watching from up top or whatever. But yeah, so it's just different depending on where you were at.
Nice. Let's talk about the Grizz this year. So do you follow the Grizz lately, and what do you think of this coming year's team?
Yeah, I mean, I follow probably not to the extent that you do or or as I did when I was playing. I know they have a ton of talent coming back. They have a good coaching staff, and they had a ton of success last year. So, you know, you would think they have the recipe for success. And if they can, you know, try to replicate a lot of the same things that they did last year, but just be even better, you have to think that they're gonna win a lot of games this year. So
nice. Have you been able to go back and raise the 37 flag?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I went to I raised it at the Cat Grizz game, not this year, but the year before.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Do you get back there much other than that? Do you get back there much?
Not a whole lot. I was just back in Montana actually like 2 weeks ago. I love going awesome. Up. I might get one or two times a year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I love Missoula. I love the people. It's always, especially summer, especially this time of year. So.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think the Grizz need to improve on this year? I know that from last year, what do you think that they need to improve on to be successful?
I feel like, I don't know. I don't think I'm really in a position to speak on their team. You know, I don't think I follow them closely enough to say they should do this or should do that. I trust Coach Houck, and he knows the recipe for success. And so I'm sure he's doing everything that he thinks they need to be doing, and they have a great strength coach, and I'm sure they're going to be working their butts off all summer to be ready for the season. So
nice. Now, were you recruited by Flukegrad, but did you ever get to meet or know Coach Houck?
I was recruited by Flukegrad, but I've only just got to meet Coach Houck from going back and visiting at Montana just during the games that I've been able to go up there and just talking to him in the weight room and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. Okay, cool. What did you ever see yourself getting into coaching someday?
Not at a high level. I think just for me, I've seen what it takes to be a coach, and I just don't think it's for me. They really do sacrifice a lot of their life to football, you know.
Yeah.
Sleeping in their offices and not seeing their family for weeks at a time. And I think that's just not a lifestyle that is very appealing to me. So I would like to be like an, I always joke, I want to be like an assistant to the assistant at like a JV team or something like that. I want very little responsibility. I just want to go in and help the guys, maybe at the high school level or something, but. Yeah.
Nice. Not have the stress either.
Yeah, not the stress. And it's just really about, you know, trying to have an impact in somebody's life. And I think that's what would be the appeal to me.
So. Nice. So if you, I know you don't know the team that well, what do you think, if you could give me a prediction of how you think the Grizz would be this coming year, what do you think they'll be at of accomplishing things?
I think, you know, you got to, if you're a real fan, you're saying they're going to win the national championship. They're not going to lose the game, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I think. That's put me on the record. They're not going to lose the game. They're going to the Natty.
Nice. So, hey, I totally believe, like, man, you're one of my favorite Grizz. I really truly believe the Grizz have just missed a pass rusher. So I wish you could come back and play for the Grizz this year, because, man, I think they're just missing that pass rusher. I will work on seeing if we can get you a couple more years of eligibility, but I don't think it's going to work.
Well, you never know. There could be a guy right on the roster right now. I'm pretty sure going into my senior year, everyone was saying the same old stuff. So we'll see. You know, somebody might pop up.
Hey, man, I totally appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us. So, but yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was a blast.
That's going to do it for another episode of Fight On Montana. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and also Stitcher. If you would like to get a hold of us, we would love to hear from you. You can find us on all social media. You can find us on Twitter at Fight On Montana. You can also find us on Facebook, our Facebook page at Fight On Montana. And you can also find us on Instagram at Fight On Montana as well. Make sure that when you're there, click the follow button to follow us on social media as well. As always, we love to hear from you. Until next time, fight on.